You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Well, this movie filled me with a very uncomfortable feelings watching it.
Me too. And I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a, you know, I'm not prudish at all. But man, some of this was, I was like, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Now, this movie, Cam, it's very much written by a former Cam girl, because that is the fact. What's her name? Issa Mazel. She is a person who works as a cam girl, or worked previously, and you can tell because they captured that side of cam girl stuff very, very detailed in this movie. Like naked people doing and obviously try not to be judgy saying perverted, but at the same time, it's like there's some stuff even there. Like even me, I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, there was some stuff I was like, I felt was, oh wow, like that's just creepy and. Yeah, perverted in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't want to say perverted, but, you know, everyone has their fetish.
Well, and that's the thing I think is the thing to remember about this film is that it's trying to be very honest about that society. Because, yeah, you know, I'm not going to say I know about anything with pornography, just, you know, to put that in his credit. But there is those people out there who have those sick ideas and that these are the people who cater to them. So in one way, it's kind of an indictment of that culture of people who look for this stuff. But on the other hand, it's showing the opposite side of that, of what they have to do to provide to those people.
Yeah. And the things that they go through to, I guess, compete against other cam girls.
Oh, man. Like, there's some catty stuff going on in this movie. But I should say also what the plot of this movie is. I always talk about this movie. So, so this main girl, Alice, is a professional cam girl, and she's decently successful. She's just barely trying to crack the top 50. But she just can't quite get there of the cam girls on this one site she does called like FGL or something like that. So on a whim, she's invited by another cam girl who works with her to do this like group show. So that way it's like, oh yeah, we can both benefit from the people drawing attention to us. What she doesn't realize though is that something happens in this, which is never fully explained. But the next day after she's finished with this, she logs into her profile only to find out, oh wait, I've been locked out. Wait, that's not possible. No one else knows my password. And then, even weirder, she notices my account is streaming live. And not just that, it's streaming live with a person who looks just like me. And this person is doing my show, you know, and going even further, because it's like, oh, well, she's a non-nude cam girl, but this one, fully naked, doing provocative stuff, you know, teasing the fans that she's had before, going like, hey, yeah, you guys, you totally want me, don't you? I'm going to go over to your house and F you. It's like, oh my gosh, this person stole my identity. And so there's this whole mystery about her trying to find out who this person is who's impersonating her and, you know, how she can stop her from ruining her life even more so than it's already been going on.
Yeah, I mean, the plot twist, I mean, this character, I mean, it sounds like, oh, it's just like this cam girl, but this character has so much depth. And, you know, she struggles with, you know, talking to her mom about what she does for a living. Her brother, her younger brother knows, but she, you know, he doesn't really, you know, like you said, she has rules. She has, you know, even though she does this for a living and she like turns men on for a living, she has her rules. Like she doesn't go full nude. She never says I love you, and she never fakes her orgasms, I think are her three rules, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's the thing. It's like that way she kind of has this weird professional angle that she approaches it with. So you at least, if you don't, like, you know, if you don't understand the job, you can at least respect somebody who takes it with pride kind of thing, you know? And the main actress in question is Madeline Brewer, who people may know from Orange is the New Black, Black Mirror, and then recently she was on Handmaid's Tale. She's the one who had the eye patch on.
Yeah, she's just a gorgeous, beautiful girl, and she's a great actress.
Oh, yeah. No, she's actually, she carries this movie very, very well.
Absolutely. Especially through all of, like, the sort of, like, physically uncomfortable scenes. She does such a good job. And I want to point out that the director, Daniel Goldhaber, this is his directorial debut.
Yeah, he's never done a feature-length film. He's only done short films, so.
And I was unable to see this at Fantastic Fest. It was at Fantastic Fest, and I missed it for another movie. But there was a lot of buzz about this movie at Fantastic Fest, and it did win best first film and best screenplay at Fantasia. Yeah. So, I mean, definitely worth watching for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's so good, in fact, that Netflix has scooped it up and they're going to distribute it through their system. So
that's
Yeah,
another Blumhouse and Netflix production.
Which, yeah, you know, that's a funny thing. Like, Blumhouse, they're making some very bold decisions lately. Because before, they, you know, they kind of built this schlock empire on their, like, Paranormal Activity-style movies and these very, like, cheap, no-budget films. But now that they've kind of gotten to a comfortable place, they're taking more risks. They're trying harder to find films that have not just scare value, but, like, artistic merit as well.
Yeah, they're on fire right now. Blumhouse is a bat in a thousand, as ever since, I would say. They did produce Get Out, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
So ever since Get Out, I think they were like, hey, we can do this. We can make interesting horror films that people want to see that aren't just, you know, slasher horror or paranormal horror, like the same crap that everybody else is making.
Though, to be fair, they also just put out Halloween, so.
That's true, and I didn't really care for Halloween. But they tried to do something better with the new Halloween, and I think that they achieved that. I just didn't think it was as good as everyone else did.
No, fair enough. But I think, and here you can see really they're willing to give a shot to somebody who is an unproven filmmaker, but he directs it with such confidence that I never suspected that he wasn't a professional filmmaker.
No, nope, I had to look it up.
Yeah, because I mean, it's shot really well. It's got this great kind of like neon color palette with the purples and the reds and this very like, it feels like it's trying to capture the glitz of these kind of artificial worlds the cam girls create for their viewers kind of thing. And it's really effective. And then it's also, I mean, it's great sound. It's edited really well. Like, there's never, like, I was never bored in this movie at all. Once the plot kicked in, I was hooked. And it kept you going every step of the way. Like, I mean, honestly, did it feel like there was ever any fat in this movie?
No, I really didn't. I felt like every scene needed to be there. And like you were mentioning about the lighting, when she's in her cam room or the other girls are in their cam rooms, there's like this very like Hollywood glam type feel. Everything's like pink and purple or blue or everything. And then in the real world, where she's not wearing makeup, her hair is not done, she's just wearing sweats, and the lighting is like a neon, so it's very bright, and it's like,
yeah.
There's a really great contrast between, you know, her as a cam girl and her in her real life. And then, like, again, even her real bedroom that she sleeps in is just like, just a mattress on the floor with a duvet comforter, you know, it's not like, and it's like, everything's white, so I really like that at all, but I didn't think that there was any one scene that could have been cut out. I think everything there was like perfectly positioned, perfectly placed. There's a lot of talk between her and her family, like, you know, building of that relationship between her mom and her brother. And then there's a lot of building the relationships between her and her, I don't know if we call them Johns. Her customers.
Yeah, she's assembled a cadre of creeps in her profession. Like, freaking, there's one guy who seems to have moved to her city to be closer to her, which is already a huge no-no. Just even outside of her being a cam girl, the fact that he's stalking her more or less throughout this film, you're just like, ugh. And then there's another guy she meets later on in the movie when things get really desperate, and she finds out that maybe he's even not, like, he's already a pretty bad dude when you know some of the stuff about him. But he turns out maybe he's not even as good as that.
I just want to say the funniest part about that was, like, he's like the big sugar daddy that spends probably the most money on her. And so mm-hmm. she gives him like special, you know, one-on-one sessions. And so when they finally meet in person, he's going to take her out to dinner. He takes her to like the shittiest chain Mexican restaurant. and he's like super excited about it, the queso.
There was even the added uncomfortable layer for me that it's like, oh, wait, they're being served by a waiter named Justin. So I'm just like, oh, no, not me, too.
But it was just like, he's so creepy. And I think that just added, that was just like such a moment where just like, that's how creepy he is. He's just like wearing gold rings and the shirt and the like Hawaiian shirt or whatever. He takes her to this crappy Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, he's the epitome of what you think of the dirty old man when you think of these kind of stories. And that's also to say that this movie ratchets up tension really effectively. And it really, I would hesitate to say what kind of genre this fits in, because that would give too much away about what the nature of the horror of the story is. But to say in general, the idea is that this movie is all about identity. The idea that because of this lifestyle that she's engaged in and what happens that creates this, you know, conflict in the story, it's really about the fact that her life is being stolen from her. And the life that she's created in itself is kind of an artificial life. You know, these people are not as nice as they seem to be. These worlds that she's exist in don't seem to be as real as they appear. And it's really the idea about her trying to find out who she is. And that amplifies the terror because you're just like, yeah, it seems like there's no way she can escape from this.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely call this, you know, art horror, maybe.
I'm not sure art horror, but it's...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly with you. It kind of reminded me a smidge of Neon Demon. Not sure. As artsy as Neon Demon, of course. Maybe like, and then maybe also another smidge of Starry Eyes. Just like that whole, like, Hollywood, you know, like, this is who I am in front of other people versus who I am in, you know, against my real life. And then also you're, you know, again, that whole idea of like identity theft and losing yourself to the camera in a lot of ways. Exactly.
No, and that's actually, I think that's a good comparison with like Neon Demon and that stuff. Cause it really does feel like the more it creeps into her, like it's invading more and more of her personal life to the point you're like, yeah, I'm amazed that it's not imploding and taking everybody else with her with this kind of stuff. So you're just like, how is she going to get out of this? But that's also a huge credit to the character that she's not dumb. And that's one of the best things I can say about this movie is that she is a sharp character who has to actually figure out how to solve this problem.
Yeah.
You know?
And she does it in a smart way. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say what, but the climax for how she solves the problem itself, or at least tries to attempt to solve it, is really, really good.
Like, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's totally worth the effort because you're just like, you literally can't think it can get any crazier than what it already is. And then there's that point you're like, oh, okay. Here's another thing.
I guess it is. Okay, cool. That's one of the things I really liked about this movie is because it really doesn't give you a clear answer. It kind of does, but I don't like things. I don't like having movies spell it out for me. I don't like my hand to be held. You know, just let me have some of my own sort of ideas of what I think the movie's trying to tell me. And this is one of those movies because at one point in time, you're like, I have no fucking clue what is going on right now. In a good way, of course. And then they kind of tell you what happens, but still, it's left very much up in the air. It's still not, you still are not entirely sure what, like, you know, who the wizard is behind the green curtain.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that people, I've seen some people complain about that, but at the same time, like, I actually prefer there's no, like, definitive answer. It's kind of like a, we give you just enough clues that maybe you know what this means, but even if it's not spelled out, it's better for you to leave with your own answers. And I think that's the thing that makes this movie work so well. And I personally saw no fault in it whatsoever. And, you know, it's funny because, like, trying to think criticisms, I don't know if I really have many. Like, I guess my only thing is one of the decisions they make at the very end of the movie, I was a little bit like, based on everything that just happened, I don't know why that would happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it felt a little bit, like, unearned. But that's, like, the only thing I really had a huge problem with in this movie.
Yeah, I think that the only problems I had was there are some moments, especially with the mom and the brother, where the acting is like just throws you off for a minute because it's not very good.
Yeah, the mom is a little amateurish.
And so you're just like, oh, and it kind of like brings you out of the immersion experience that this movie has. Otherwise, yeah, the ending is a little bit like girl power for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm all for girl power, but I was just like, really? Okay, I guess.
Well, because the thing is, this movie is trying to legitimize the field of sex workers and cam girls kind of thing, and it's like, on the one hand, sure, fine, people decide their professions, this is what they do with their lives, but in the context of the movie, some of those decisions throughout the story don't really make a lot of sense for why.
Yeah.
So this is more purely in the context of what the story presents us as an audience.
Agreed. And overall, I think it's totally a great movie, and I think everyone should watch this movie when it comes out very soon on Netflix.
Well, you know, I just looked up, too. The mom, for as amateurs as she felt in this movie, I knew I recognized her because she was in Magnolia, Boogie Nights, Dead Poets Society, Butterfly Effect. She's...
Oh, wow.
You know, if I remember, I think she's Claudia in Magnolia. I think she might be the daughter of the game show host in that one. So.
Oh, wow. So she's definitely... maybe it's just the way she was written then.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably it because it's like... Yeah, you know, and again, maybe I'm wrong with the Magnolia thing, but it's just like, yeah, I've seen her in these movies before, so it's like, yeah, I'm sure it's just, because even there's a weird thing when the mom starts to suspect what's going on, and it's like, the way they wrote how she handles it, I was just like, I'm not sure if it's the actor or the way the dialogue's written, but it feels off. It feels kind of strange, the way it's played out.
And maybe it's supposed to be, maybe that's what they intended, is there to be that awkwardness between her and her family, because she can't open up to them about her real life. You know, she's constantly lying to her mom about, you know, her, how much money she has, and her, you know, her mom isn't allowed over to her house, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, also, she apparently was in Venom just recently, so there you go.
Snap, which I will not be watching for quite some time.
Me neither. But this one I would totally say watch again. It's coming out on Netflix this week. I say if you like good small indie horror films that, you know, have a bit of a brain to them, by all means, go see this movie. So I'll give my first final rating. I will give it 8.5, just to be fair. 8.5 out of 10 very ominous website notifications.
Nice.
Because like every time they did the chimes and the dong ding, sounds on it, it's like, ding, man, this feels scary for some reason. And it's not even much. It's just kind of like a doom. <or something. laughs>
Nice. I really like this film, and I wouldn't say I liked it 8.5, but I'm thinking it's solidly like an 8. Rose gold IMAX that got smashed that hurt my heart out of 10. Because those rose gold IMAX are so flippin' expensive. And
man, she was dropping money left and right in this movie. Like, even early on, you see her like buying couches and buying a bunch of stuff. You're just like, I wish I had that much money just to drop on a whim.
For her brother's birthday, she grabs like 10 Xbox games and just pays for them in cash. And I was just like, that was like $600. Yeah, easy. And
as a guy who collects physical media, I just felt like, oh, screw you. Maybe I should get a... At the same time, I'm like, maybe I should get a cam job.
Maybe I should get a cam job.
Right?
I'm too old to do cam. Damn it. Overweight 40-year-olds, maybe. You never know.
Yeah, nobody wants to see me, so...
Oh, you're beautiful just the way you are, Justin.
Yeah.